Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
It's the dictionary.
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 Hey, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer, and I am your host, and I have brainchild this podcast for your enjoyment and your education, and also my enjoyment and education, because I think it is very fun and very educational, and we are always learning things here on the dictionary. What we are learning today is 20 more words that were added to the Oxford Dictionary in June of 2025. So let's talk about them. That's what we're here to do. The first one is clerical assistant. Noun, a person employed to perform tasks relating to routine documentation, administration, or office work. Back in the day, I would say that the word used was secretary, and now we're not so much using that word. We're using clerical assistant, executive assistant, I have heard that. You know, it's the stuff, you gotta do the things that the person who's in charge doesn't want to do. They don't want to do documentation or administration or office work or scheduling or copies or making coffee and stuff like that. No, they need a clerical assistant. Please treat your clerical assistants well. They are very important. They can screw over your life if they want to. Next, we have clericalizing. Clericalizing. Adjective that makes a person or thing take on characteristics of the clergy. So we're not talking about turning something into a clerical assistant. It's making a thing, it's the thing that makes a person or thing take on characteristics of the clergy. That makes something take on these characteristics. What's the clergy? It's the religious-y stuff. Okay, next we have clericometer. Is this the machine to figure out how close you are to God, to a religious person? I don't know. Clericometer, it is a noun. It is a standard or device for measuring the outlook and opinions of the clergy. Whoa, this is a new one to me. I gotta look this up. It's a device for measuring the outlook and opinions of the clergy. How is that possible? How does this work? I'm so confused. Okay, here we go. Where did I see it? It says this word is now out of use. This is old. I'm so curious. Yeah, this word is now obsolete. It is only recorded in the 1860s. In the 1860s, people were like, oh yeah, we could definitely use this device to figure out the outlook and opinions of the clergy. It's a scientific device for those things, because that is very scientifically figure-outable. I want to see a picture of what this device was. No, you're showing me different things. That is not what I want to be seen. Anyway, fascinating, fascinating stuff. All right, next we have climate breakdown. I don't want the climate to break down. It's definitely happening. This is a noun. It is a standard or device. Nope, that's the other one. Climate breakdown is a noun. It is the occurrence of progressively detrimental changes to the Earth's climate as a result of global warming. And then another term for this is just climate change. I don't know if I've ever heard it used this way or described this way. It is breaking down. Progressively detrimental changes to the Earth's climate. Oh, yeah, change. I mean, I don't know. What's more accurate? Is it just breaking down or is it just changing? I mean, the Earth is like, yeah, we're going to figure it out. I'm fine. I'll bring everything in balance by causing more storms and flooding and stuff like that. Interesting way to term that, to word that. Makes it maybe sound a little bit scarier to maybe make people realize. I think the vast majority of humans do agree that climate change is real, but there are some key people in key positions that don't, and I want to smack them. Next, we have close chair or close chair? C-O-C-L-O-S-E. It is a noun. It is a piece of furniture enclosing a chamber pot. Typically, a type of chair or small chest having a lid concealing a seat with a hole used in the same dot dot dot. Concealing a seat with a hole used in the same pot position as the hole in the chamber pot. I mean, well, hey, this sounds like this is the original toilet. People were like, I got this chamber pot here next to my bed. I want to use it, but it's a little bit awkward. And so I'm like squatting on it and that's weird. So can I sit down on a chair? I would love to sit down on a thing to rest my weary legs because I've been sleeping all night. And there somebody was like, yes, I can make you a chair. I just need to cut a hole in the thing. And they're like, that's great. Please just sand it down so I don't get splinters on my tushy. It's a I assume close, because it's closed off. The chamber pot is closed off to the world, so you don't have to see what's going on in there. A closed chair does not show me what I want to see. I want to see closed chair, chamber pot. Let's see an old school closed chair. Oh, that looked like that might. Oh, yeah, here's some. Oh, some of these are just straight up chairs with holes cut in the middle. You know, it's got a back and arms and everything. Yep, that seems pretty standard. Just take a chair, cut a hole, you got a closed chair. You got to put a chamber pot under it, though. Do you have a chamber pot? This one it looks like you lift up the lid. Yeah, these are just old school toilets. Why is this now getting into the dictionary? Okay, next we have close mic. This is two words with a hyphen. Mike is M-I-K-E, like the name. But I would have spelled it M-I-C, like this thing right here. Hello, thing. You're a mic. So, close mic, adjective, that makes use of a microphone placed very close to each individual instrument, singer, sound source, etc. Typically, in order to capture subtle ... subtle sounds, subtle probably sounds, like if I get real close, you'll hear all the little sounds, like if I go, some of you really hated that, like me. So it's a close mic, because it's real close. Maybe an ASMR mic would be a close mic. Oh, I want to put that mic right up in their face. Right up in their face. So that's the adjective. That mic is a close mic. But now we have close mic, again, verb, transitive verb, and it is to place a microphone very close to each individual instrument, singer, sound source, etc., typically in order to capture subtle ... So this is the action of close mic. Hey, assistant, grip guy, roadie, can you close mic them, please, because we need them to be close mic'd, which is the next word, close mic'd. Adjective that makes use of a microphone placed very close to each individual instrument, singer, sound source, etc., typically in order to capture subtle ... Why does it end at the same place every time? Let's just go on to the next one. Close miking. Two words, no hyphen this time. It is a noun, and it is the action, practice, or process of placing a microphone very close to each individual instrument, singer, sound source, etc., typically in order to ... Oh, what do we have? Four things in a row that were all about the same thing, about being close-miked. I want to eat you, Mike. If you watch people who are using a microphone, maybe a stand-up, maybe a singer or something, they're usually right up there, right on top of it, depending on the microphone. I feel like I'm hunching. I need to stand like this, and maybe I need to raise it up so I can get it a little closer and not be hunching down. Anyway, oh yeah, gotta get it real close, like NPR style. Hey, baby. Okay, next, we have close textured, or would it be close textured? Let's see, it's two words with a hyphen. This is an adjective, and it is of a substance, material, etc. That's the context. Having a texture that is dense or compact, and also non-porous. So it's having a texture that is dense or compact. So this thing, this substance, this material is close textured because it's dense and compact and you can't get water through it. It's non-porous. What would be close textured? What is a close textured material? I need an example. Would leather be close textured? Let's see, dense, fine, and uniform, meaning it lacks large holes or spaces. This term can be applied to various materials such as a dense breadcrumb or an abrasive coating where the abrasive grains cover almost the entire surface of the backing. Baked goods would be close textured material or close textured. That probably makes more sense here. Abrasives, fabrics, plaster, or paint, non-porous, no holes. If you've got a shear with fishnets, those are not close textured. Next, we have closed-toed. Two words with a hyphen, closed-toed. It's just kind of fun to say closed-toed. Maybe it's a closed-toed sloth. This is an adjective. It's talking about footwear, and it is having an upper that covers the toes. Having an upper that covers the toes. Closed toe is also an adjective instead of closed toed. Where do you put the D? Is it closed toe or closed toed? What do you prefer? What do I prefer? Closed toe? Your toe is closed, so I think that would make sense. Closed toed. This sounds so ridiculous now. Yeah, it's just something where your toes are closed. Your toes are closed in they're safe in their little home. Those little piggies. Okay, next we have closed back. Two words with a hyphen. Adjective. This is talking about headphones. It is having ear cups that cover the whole ear, thereby minimizing the amount of outside or ambient sound audible to the wearer. Closed back. Well, this I have right here. Let me grab it. These would be closed back headphones because the back, I guess this would be the back. It's closed. It covers the whole ear. So you're like, I can't hear anything else out there. So, you know, that's pretty good. These are getting way more popular just in the world. Because of fancy technology making these very good, and Bluetooth, people are walking down the street, they're on the train, they're on the plane, they're just living their life with these big ol' closed back headphones. And I don't have them. I think they take up too much space. I have limited space, and I'm sure they're very good, very good quality and all that, but I'm like, nah, these little things are just fine. Okay, next is closed cell. Two words with a hyphen. Cell is C-E-L-L. It is an adjective. And this is designating the structure of a solid material that is made up of distinct cavities or bubbles whose walls prevent the passage of fluids such as dot, dot, dot. So this is this in a cell? Is it distinct cavities or bubbles whose walls prevent the passage of fluids? I don't know. Let's just look up closed cell adjective. So maybe we can get some more context of what. Ooh, we're seeing a lot of stuff about foam. closed cell most commonly refers to closed cell foam, a type of foam with sealed, non-interconnecting cells that is denser, more rigid, and more resistant to moisture and air than open cell foam. It is often used for insulation, structural support, and gasketing, where durability and a vapor barrier are needed. Aha, so that makes a lot of sense. Sometimes when they're building a house, in between the boards, the studs, instead of putting asbestos, which we shouldn't be doing anymore, they'll spray this foam, and because it's closed cell, it's more protective. It's not going to let so much stuff through. It's maybe similar to closed textured bread. Maybe you could just insulate your house with closed textured bread instead of this foam. Okay, next we have closed ear. Aha, I have an idea of what this is. Closed ear, two words with a hyphen, adjective. It's talking about headphones again. It is having ear cups that cover the whole ear, thereby minimizing the amount of outside or ambient sound audible to the wearer. Same thing. I guess I would call those headphones closed ear headphones instead of closed back. But either one is fine. If you're searching for headphones, try both terms. Or just look up big headphones. You'll find it. Okay, next is closed-ended. Two words with a hyphen. Adjective. It says it's in extended uses and finance. So this is designating an investment trust, fund, or company that issues a fixed number of shares to its investors. So it's closed-ended because it's just a limited amount of stuff out there. Fixed number of shares. Oh, there's only 100 shares to go around. We're sending them out to all you people. So we have a closed-ended situation. The 100 shares, that's the end of it. That's all you get. Next is, this is one of my least favorite words, closed-minded. Two words with a hyphen, adjective. Not receptive to new ideas or opinions. Having or showing rigid opinions or a narrow outlook. And then in parentheses, it says by implication, prejudiced or intolerant. That's just a real succinct way to say closed-minded. I prefer open-minded. I mean, come on. I hope that if you are watching this podcast, then you are also open-minded. I have to assume that is true because you are open to somebody reading the dictionary. What do you even say? I don't think I have anything to say. Closed-minded? Don't like it. I think that it's, you got to be open to change. The world, the universe, everything is constantly changing and evolving. And if you're not open to that, then you're closed-minded. And you might have a little bit of a harder time. You're just maybe going to be angry all the time. Okay, next we have closed source. Two words. Adjective and noun. This is designating software or a program whose source code is not made publicly available by its owners. Also of or relating to such software or programs, ... So typically, I don't hear this term, closed source. I hear open source. Is it opened source or just open source? But those are things that they're like, yes, here is our code. Here is our information. We are providing it to you, to the public, to do with it what you will. Create your own thing. Do something. We're making your life easier if you are smart enough, or not smart enough, if you understand those sorts of things. I don't deal with open source things at all because I don't know how to do anything with that. But a lot of things are closed source. They are not providing the code so you can go ahead and make your own changes to it. Phones, programs, whatever. It's a lot. So yeah, you'll typically hear, it's open source. Woo, yay, the programmers are loving that. All right, next we have closer settlement. I believe it's closer and not closer. This is a noun. It is a government policy of increasing the population or settlement density on land suitable for agriculture by dividing large tracts of pastoral land... So it's government policy of increasing the population or settlement density on land. So they want to increase the population of people, I guess, I assume, on a land that is good for agriculture, but they want to add people? Closer settlement. I'm curious about this. Let's do a little additional looking up. This seems old. There was the Closer Settlement Acts. It can refer to two main concepts, a government policy to resettle people on smaller landholdings, particularly in Australia, or the final process of a real estate transaction known as settlement or closing. Let's look up this real quick. The Closer Settlement Acts. This was in Australia, New South Wales. Introduced by the Parliament between 1901 and 1909 to reform land holdings and, in particular, to break the squatters' domination of land tenure. They're like, we got to get rid of the squatters, so let's put some people over there. So this is well over 100 years old. It's in Australia, and I think that's kind of why it makes sense that it's being added to the Oxford Dictionary, because they're all kind of British. They're all part of the, what is it? The Kupatipata. I can never remember the term. It starts with a C. I'm not going to come up with it. Okay, next we have Coptologist. Capital Coptologist. This is a noun. It is a person who is a specialist in Coptic studies. Well, let's go on to our next and very last word, because it's related. It is Coptology. Noun. It's Coptic studies. The academic study of the Coptic people, language, literature, history, art, etc. And now, of course, I must look up the Coptic people, because I don't know anything about the Coptic people. Is this also the Copts? C-O-P-T-S? I think that's probably what it is. Looks like ancient Egypt. Christian ethno-religious group native to Northeast Africa who have primarily inhabited the area of modern Egypt since antiquity. They are, like the broader Egyptian population, descended from the ancient Egyptians. So, I've heard of this term, but I was not aware. I shall forget this immediately. But yes, the Coptic people, or the Copts, they live in what is now modern Egypt. We're calling it ancient Egypt. Did they help build the pyramids? I don't know. They became synonymous with native Christians in light of Egypt's Islamization and Arabization after the Muslim conquest of Egypt in 639 A.D. So if you are studying that stuff, then you are a Coptologist and you are doing the Coptology. And that is going to be the end of this episode. Thank you very much for listening to me talk about a lot of closed things. Closed backs, closed ears, closed minds, closed toes, and others. And close mics. That's it. Oh, I should probably tell you about a movie that I watched. Because that is a very important thing to do, because we love movies. Do I love movies more than words? Yes, I do, in fact. So why don't I have a movie podcast? Because that's a lot of work. But let's find where we left off. The Long Walk. It's been out for a while. It is out of theaters by now. I'm so sorry, but maybe you can rent it on the streaming. This is based on a Stephen King novella, I think. I think this was this one of the ones that he used a pseudonym for? And it's pretty brutal. It's pretty rough. You can't help but think, like, how would I fare in that long walk? I don't think I would do so well. I would not win. But it is worth a watch, especially if you like, kind of creepy horror things. Worth a watch. It's got Mark Hamill. And were there any other? Oh, what's her name? I love her. Let's look her up real quick so I can give you the proper name. The Long Walk. She's not in it for very much, But she's very... And the main actors, I mean, these are young male actors who I don't know, so I apologize. I don't know their names. I mean, I can read them right here. We got Cooper Hoffman, David Johnson. They would be the two main ones, but I don't know them, but they're great. But who am I thinking of? Lots of great actors. Judy Greer is the one that I'm thinking of, and she's been around a while and doing great stuff. Arrested Development. Oh, God, she's so funny. Anyway, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to me yammer on. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.